Word. I'm reading from the book of Esther. I'm not going to read the whole book, but you need to in the course of the next 7 days, because the message today and next Sunday is really a survey of this wonderful story in the Old Testament. The heart of the passage, or heart of the book, is the statement by Esther when she puts her life on the line and she says, "If I perish, I perish." Say that phrase with me again. If I perish, I perish. I won't read that, but let me just kind of put that in its context. The nation of Israel, all of the Jews, are about to be annihilated. It is amazing how often that theme has recurred through human history. God's chosen people, therefore hated of all people by Satan, because he hates what God loves. And so throughout history, the Egyptians put them in bondage and tried to break the nation and the spirit of the Jew, but failed to do so because of God's wonderful deliverance. All through history, tyrants have sought to destroy them. It frightens me, frankly, that our government today is increasingly distancing itself from the nation of Israel. Because with all of our failings, I happen to believe one reason that God has blessed this nation is because we have taken seriously the word spoken to Abraham as a blessing upon his obedience. The Bible says, "I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you." And America has been a nation that has sought to be a blessing to Israel. My wife and I will be leaving a week from Tuesday to fly as the guests of the Israeli government, along with six other pastors and their wives. For nine or eight days, we will travel to every one of the major sites that are dear to the Christian faith with the best guides in the country. And they tell us we'll be in the finest hotels and seen. It is an extravagant gift of the government, because they want Christians to begin coming back to the homeland. Obviously, they have an economic interest in that. But they also know that the only friends they have on the earth are those who call that land home. Those who recognize that the origin of their faith is that place. I am delighted to report to you that Louis Gohmert, last night speaking at a dinner where I attended, reported that he had met with Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, just a month ago, and heard him acknowledge that the only hope for that nation is to call upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's the God we call upon. These are dangerous days. I'm going to show you a couple of videos in a moment that some of you've already seen if you watched Fox News this week on from the Glenn Beck program. I'm not endorsing Glenn Beck. I'm not endorsing Fox News. Fox News is a commercial enterprise, and they've just found that conservatism works because everybody else has abandoned the message. But trust me on this. They're not driven by Christian morals or commitments. So I'm not endorsing that television network. But we're going to see some things that are designed to make you think. And this is the age when believers who hold dear the scripture have got to finally reconcile that we're not Republicans. We're not Democrats. We're not white, black, or brown, but we are followers of the Lord Jesus. I often refer to myself as a Christocrat, a follower of Jesus Christ. And my allegiance is to any man or any party whose allegiance is to Christ. But beyond that, folks, I'm telling you, I won't go that far, but I tell you, when I say the Pledge of Allegiance, I'm saying a pledge of allegiance to one nation under God. And it frightens me when we have a president going around the world saying this country is not a Christian nation. It is time for believers of every stripe to stand up and say, "Jesus is Lord." And finally resolve the fact, this issue, that we are followers of Christ and we are protectors of freedom, which is a gift of Almighty God. In Esther chapter 1, This is what happened during the time of Xerxes. The Xerxes who ruled over 127 provinces stretching from India to Kush. At that time, King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa. And in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all of his nobles and officials, the military leaders of Persia and Media, the princes and the nobles, the provinces were present, and for a full 180 days, he displayed his vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of whose majesty? His majesty. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet that lasted 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace for all the people, from the least to the greatest, who were in the citadel of Susa. The garden had hangings of white and blue linen, fastened with cords of white linen and purple material to silver rings on marble pillars. There were couches of gold and of silver on mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. Wine was served in goblets of gold, with each one different from the other. And the royal wine was abundant in keeping with the king's liberality. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink his own way, for the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. Queen Vashti also gave a banquet for the women in the royal palace of King Xerxes. Father, I pray in the name of your son, Jesus, that you would allow us today to begin understanding why we must, as believers, engage the culture, taking our faith into the marketplace of ideas. Father, I pray your anointing upon the reading and upon the studying, and particularly, Lord, upon the preaching of this inerrant and infallible book, that everyone listening, whether mechanically or in person, might be affected by the truths contained therein. And I pray that in the matchless name of Jesus, my Lord, I want all of you standing and those who are listening to pray these words after me. Lord Jesus, speak to my heart this morning. Let's all pray aloud. Lord Jesus, speak to my heart this morning. Father, thank you that you speak and that we hear it and receive it in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. You may be seated. We're going to show this video here in just a moment. And always when we do this, there's the chance for interruption or failure. You be patient with us. Our crew back in the back do an incredible job of these last-minute details the pastor foisters upon them. I walked out of here about an hour ago, and I said, can you do this? And they said, well, let's give it our shot. At the time, they couldn't, and now they can. So see, the Lord is already moving in our services. How many of you saw any of the Glenn Beck special this week that was carried on Fox? It's difficult. It's 4 o'clock. I TiVo'd it and watched it in the evenings. I watched it because I heard enough about what the content was to think it was going to be important. And believe me, staggering information. Now, folks, some of you who hear this are may be listening as we broadcast radio or as we send this out over the internet, as we carry portions of it. On my website, visionamerica.us or visionamerica.org, where all of these messages are chronicled and kept for people to listen down the road, where you can hear them and send your friends, by the way, to listen to both the radio messages that are archived as well as the full-length messages that are delivered in this pulpit. They go back for a year, and we continue to compile those. But when you listen, I want you to listen carefully. Obviously, you're not getting all the context because this was 5 hours of information building. We've selected about a 5-minute clip and about a 3-minute clip because I believe it will help you understand why it is absolutely imperative that believers get informed and get involved. So with no further introduction,
disparity. Let's play. Phil, how are you? Good to see you.
Go ahead.
I wanted to bring you here because I want to show you what's on the other side of the board, and I need you to help draw this together because I think this is stunning. We have Van Jones. We tied him yesterday, tied him together with right directly to Obama and right directly to the Apollo Alliance. Here's Jeff Jones. Put the picture of Jeff Jones up again, please. Jeff Jones is an interesting character. Jeff Jones is the founder of the Weather Underground, right?
That's correct.
What else has he done?
Well, Jeff has been involved not just in those terrorist activities with the Weather Underground. He was actually part of the Weather Bureau modeled on the Politburo, which was the high leadership where he was with Bill Ayers. But Jones was on the run, hiding from the law for about a decade before he was finally caught in a dramatic raid where his four-year-old child saw him arrested in 1981. He then became an advisor to environmental groups, to labor organizations, and to the New York State government, where he sits on a commission for Governor Patterson.
Okay, hold on just a second. You hear this, what he did? Labor groups, think of SEIU and all the unions. Oh, and by the way, did anybody notice that the head of the Fed here in New York is now the former head of the AFL-CIO? That shouldn't be any problem. Here in New York, corruption with finances, New York and the unions? No, that's crazy. Okay, so labor unions and environmental projects. Van Jones, green jobs are. Okay. Then what did he do?
Well, he's on a panel that we don't know much about, a commission that Governor Patterson put him on called the Energy and Environment
right there.
Transition.
It's important that he's talking when he goes back and he talks about Van Jones. Van Jones is our green czar. Van Jones was converted to communism while he was in prison. He's a former prison inmate for crimes. Converted to communism, makes no bones about it, and has written on the subject, and is now our sitting czar, overseeing the whole effort to do away with fossil fuels.